Well, we're only a few weeks away from Thanksgiving, and though the pandemic remains a very real concern, I suspect that families and even close friends are making careful plans for gathering around a table. Table is a rich word in many cultures. Table is a place of gathering, a place of nourishment, a place of welcome and sharing. Table can be a place of literal beauty and figuratively used to describe the beauty of loving community that gathers. The 23rd Psalm uses the image, the metaphor of table, to describe who God is and who we are in relationship to God. David writes in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In the ancient Near East, the culture of hospitality was a matter of honor. Even today, the importance of welcoming, feeding, sheltering, and protecting hospitality is still a given. David experienced multiple chapters of migration in his life. Read the stories of his constant movements to stay ahead of King Saul's troops who were hunting David to take his life. You will find numerous occasions when David sought the hospitality of families and other tribes and other nations. Guided by the custom of hospitality, these were required to receive, feed, shelter, and protect, even if the person seeking shelter was being hunted by others. This hospitality can be seen in the movie Lone Survivor, based upon the real events of a U.S. Navy SEAL team in Afghanistan. Their mission was compromised. They engaged in a running battle with an enemy force with superior numbers and firepower. One Navy SEAL is taken in by an Afghan village. When Taliban forces discover he is being sheltered by the village, they demand the villagers turn him over or they will face retribution. The village, moved by the ancient code of hospitality, defended in fierce fighting their guest. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." This is one way to understand, prayerfully imagine, and embrace what David is referencing. God is the God who welcomes all, regardless of background, clan, tribe, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or identity. Those who come to him are welcomed. And God stands ready to make provision to provide. We have a God who provides the daily bread of food, shelter, employment, the healing of physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds. We have a God who cares about justice, redemption, reconciliation, and a myriad of other needs. Read the gospel stories and see Jesus multiply bread and fish to feed the multitudes of hungry, restore sight to the blind, forgive sins, cast out demons who robbed people of life and flourishing. Listen to the rabbi Nicodemus in John chapter 3 as he comes to Jesus and says, quote, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Hear Jesus as he says to the Roman emperor's representative, Pontius Pilate, "Do you think I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Man, that's power. That's Jesus who welcomes us to his table when life is beautiful and when life seems to surround us with types of enemies. But there's another way to hear and prayerfully embrace this line in the 23rd. David was a shepherd, and the 23rd is rich with the imagery of shepherding. The word table can refer to a pasture area, often in a high-altitude, flat area. In our culture, in North America, the word mesa, which we use to describe a high, flat area in our Southwest, is the Spanish word for table. In shepherding, a table, then, can be a higher-altitude, flat pasture area typically used for summer pasture. The shepherd, whose life revolves around the all-in care, protecting, and flourishing of the sheep, is mindful that the seasons are shifting. The shepherd will go ahead of the sheep to prepare the table area. The shepherd prepares the area by strategically distributing a supply of salt and minerals around the table pasture for the benefit of the sheep. The shepherd will scope out the vegetation to see what areas can be used for heavy grazing and those only for light grazing. In addition, while evaluating this vegetation, the shepherd is on the lookout for poisonous, toxic weeds amidst the grasses. It can be amazing how toxic a plant can be to sheep. One example of this in Israel today, and probably in David's time, is called giant fennel, which has a strong anticoagulant that induces hemorrhaging in grazing female sheep, especially when carrying an unborn lamb. You can just imagine the damage and loss. The good shepherd will spend countless hours removing toxic plants from the grazing pasture area. Preparing the table includes evaluating water supplies, opening and clearing springs of debris that has built up over the winter months. The shepherd may need to repair small earth dams he or she has made to hold water and clear the watering holes of overgrown grass and weeds. All of this is done by the shepherd, who selflessly prepares the table for his sheep and for their flourishing. Lastly, the shepherd, while preparing the table area and while the sheep graze in the table, keeps a vigilant eye out for predators who can wound and even kill the sheep. Like with the first idea of radical table hospitality that welcomes, feeds, heals, and protects, here too we find connections with Shepherd Jesus. In John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, Jesus, speaking about human predators, says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In John chapter 4, Jesus meets an ostracized woman at a watering hole. He engages her in conversation and eventually says to her in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." To his followers, when they were arguing about who was to bring bread so they could eat, Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 15, "Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." This has to do with what we graze on and its ability to nourish and strengthen us so we can flourish, or like giant fennel plant, beautiful and attractive as it might be, it causes us to hemorrhage life. The Samaritan woman at the well had been married 5 times and she was now living with a 6th man. How like us? We try one thing, hoping it will satisfy and delight, provide security and significance, and perhaps it does for a season, but its euphoria wanes, and we move on to the next person or thing. I remember Dr. David Siemens of the Wilmore United Methodist Church saying, "Men and women make wonderful husbands and wives, but they make lousy gods." It's so true. Dr. Siemens went on to say, "We enter into relationships with thoughtlessly unexamined hearts, thinking, 'I have so many needs, and I cannot wait for you to fill them all.' But we can't, because we were never meant to. Many people and things can bring beauty, purpose, and joy, but they are only good things. They're not ultimate things. They make lousy gods, and they were never meant to." Our good shepherd Jesus prepares a table space of grazing, drinking, nourishment, life, security, purpose, significance, and protection, a table space meant for flourishing, but we must follow our shepherd Jesus. In the Great Commission passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus, commissioning his followers then and now, says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Friends, we followers of Shepherd Jesus are to be a taught people. We are to be informed and formed by the teachings and person of Jesus. Our baptism is the welcoming event to the table. Our obedience and formation is the journey that concludes only when I take my last breath. As I mentioned last week, the primary way, not the only way, but the primary way in which we are formed is through reading and prayerfully reflecting upon or meditating upon, and you'll remember perhaps the Hebrew word for meditate means to gnaw upon. Think of a dog with a good bone gnawing away on it. We prayerfully gnaw upon Scripture, meditate, reflect upon it, and respond to it. Not just once a week through in-person or virtual worship, but through the discipline of daily grazing on the good pasture food of Scripture. Have you been grazing upon, gnawing upon the 23rd? How has it fed you? How has it spoken encouragement and or challenge, hope and blessing? How has it comforted and perhaps even brought healing? What changes is Shepherd Jesus calling you to make because you have followed him to the table space he has prepared? Are there things you need to lay down so you can take hold of the greater and better food Jesus has prepared? What enemies threaten you from your past or right now? Are there enemies that seem to loom on the horizon? When I think of enemies, I'm reminded of the call of Scripture found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And then this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Fix our eyes on Shepherd Jesus. I can do that as I stay close and listen to his voice, as I gnaw on Scripture, finding him, my shepherd, preparing and welcoming me into the table space he has prepared for me. Friends, will you join me as together we share in speaking aloud again the table space of the 23rd Psalm? Let's share in it together, saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." Amen.